Well, good morning. Are we good to go on this? Doug, are we good? We live? All right. Well, so this is the Sunday after Christmas, right? The day after Christmas. And always, almost always, we start the service with Joy to the World, which we're going to sing in just a moment. It's my pleasure to welcome you here today. Today, it's my joy to play the part of Carol Carboni. Now, she looks a lot better than I do, but she had a bit of a stomach bug last night, so I'm doing the backup singing today. So it's a joy to be up here with the praise team guys from the Brazilian church and with Ananda. We appreciate Gideoni, Gideon back here at the drums, and Jero is always at the bass or the guitar. We're going to worship the Lord. We expected most people would be on the road. We have a lot of folks sending messages, so we welcome our online folks. Let's all stand together and sing Joy to the World together.
Good morning, Pathos. You may be seated. Today's a little bit different for us. I wanted to welcome you to the first of what I hope is many of our Ebenezer Stone Sundays. And so I want you to think of today as a sort of year in review. It's a time to reflect and to give thanks. Think of it as a time to look backward and to acknowledge that all of those hills and mountains that looked so huge before you when you were going through them, in your rearview mirror, they're not hills and mountains, they're gentle slopes. There are stories of how God has intervened in your life. And when you cried out to him looking at that huge mountain, that huge threat coming before you, God answered your prayer. and brought you through that trial. We hope that you will use today as a time of proper, righteous, and aligning with God humility, such that we can give praise to the one who has done everything in our lives. I ask you to challenge yourself today, to answer for yourself, or maybe someone in your family. If I can give no testimony of God's presence and direct action in my life, does that mean that God does not exist, as Generation Z would so claim? Or does it just mean that I have some growth steps in front of me to see Him as present and active in my everyday? So as we go through our worship today, you'll hear stories from some of us, some of them on video, some here from this very room, about where and how we saw God as present and active in our lives this year. We invite you to reflect. And if you should feel so moved today, raise your hand. And one of our excellent high schoolers and one of our excellent family members will bring you a microphone, and you can tell your 2 minutes, please, 2 minutes. You'll tell your 2 minute story, and we will listen and celebrate or mourn or rejoice with you. We begin with 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 5 through 6. That's our passage for the day. It's where we get the word Ebenezer. It comes from this passage. It goes like this. Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." And when they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. They poured themselves out before the Lord. And on that day they fasted, and then they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." Samuel was their leader at the time. So just as Samuel led his people and his family back to God, so you and your family today, hopefully, will realign back with God's presence. I ask you to do this with me now. Here's our first exercise for the morning. I'm going to ask you to take 30 seconds just to yourself. And just as Samuel did, to look at your life and to get rid of all the idols and all the masters that have a claim upon your life. Is it your job and that's your security? Is it your financial nest egg? That's what you're really banking on. Is it the American way that we live, our healthcare system? Is that where your hope is? I think back to before when we had the vaccines and we were so hoping for the vaccine, for the vaccine. And we, the people of God, kind of forgot that it is God who gives us everything. I'll give you 30 seconds in silence and just reflect and confess before God. I have given too much credit to this or to that. I have been driven by this or by that. I've given this or that the wrong place in my life. Go ahead and take 30 seconds for yourself. And join us at home, if you will, in silence.
So as we turn our minds to reflection over God's work in our lives over this past year, I was reminded, like many churches, we love to say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And one of the things we very quickly affirm is that doesn't mean everything that comes into our lives is good. It means that God is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And the Bible says, give thanks in all things. So let's do that as we stand and sing about the Lord, His presence in our lives, and what He does in us. Seated. Thank you.
Morning Pathways, it makes me want to shout. If it's okay with you, Pastor Jonathan, I am going to be the first one to give a report on how I've seen God show up this year. And it was with the help of this congregation, actually. For a long time, I've been in prayer about how Pathways can be the hands and feet of Christ here in this neighborhood, how we can continue to be relevant, how we can continue to be the church in action. So a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, I had the opportunity to speak with the principal of Gaithersburg Elementary School. And I asked her, you know, we really would like to learn to be a good neighbor to you. Is there any way that we can do that? Do you have a need that we could fulfill? And before I could even get the whole sentence out, she said, we need coats. We need coats because our kids are all first generation. Most of them come from Latin American countries, and they need coats. And I said, okay, well, is there anything else? And she was like, no, that really is the immediate need. And as you know, this past week, well, today, yesterday and today, you can't feel it. It's been 70 degrees, but last week was really cold. And there were a couple of mornings that were 29 degrees, and the babies were coming to school with no coats because they didn't have them. So 2 weeks ago, I put out a request to you, and I asked if we could try to meet this need. And so from the 1st to the 19th of December, people came and they dropped off coats and hats and gloves. So here's the report. We were able to collect 181 coats and deliver them to the school this last week. So please, give yourselves, give God a praise. Paula Summers, who is the principal, was in tears. We had our deacons went and they helped me to deliver the coats, and teachers and the counselors, they all kept... Who are y'all again? What's your name? Why are you doing this? And they were stunned that we would actually try to be the church in action. So as you can see, we took scarves and hats. We took baby clothes. Whatever I got my hands on, we took it to the school. They have a preschool there. And what you'll also see is that it wasn't just us. We had a lot of community partners. Apple Cleaners cleaned all of the coats that came in that had been gently used. And we had another organization called Thrivent gave a grant so that we could pay to have the clothes cleaned. And we had sororities that partnered with us. Everybody came together in this effort. So my report and my testimony this morning is that God is still meeting needs. God is still faithful. God is still looking for those of us who are willing to be used by God to bless others. So I thank you for that. I have another opportunity. I'm always going to have another opportunity every time I come up here. I have another opportunity for us to be the hands and feet of Christ. We want to continue to remember our brothers and sisters in the Midwest who have been devastated by tornadoes. What we are doing, we are using offerings that are made to our World's Mission Fund. We will take some of those funds and we will use that to forward to help the efforts in the Midwest with and partner with the churches, the organizations that are on the ground there that will be ministering to those people. So that is another opportunity. Just because it's not on the front page today does not mean that that need is not still there. It's still great, and it's going to be great for a very, very long time. So with the holiday spirit of giving, you're generous, and I thank you, and the need is great. That's all I can say about that. So With all of those announcements made, I see Pastor Sylvia, are you in the back? And are you ready for the babies? She is back there and she's ready to take our young ones. All that will go. She has a lot of fun waiting, so I would ask you to walk. Don't run. And meet her, and that would be great. And I am going to ask the rest of us to prepare our hearts to continue to worship through our giving. And those of you online, I'd like you to take the same opportunity to search your hearts and see how the Lord would have you respond by pressing the giving button online. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you on this day after Christmas. I know that everyone is in different places. I know that there were families that couldn't gather. I know that there are those who are grieving. There are those who are sick. And then there are those who were able to meet and eat together and share. And we know that you were in all of that. We know that you were with every family, meeting them at the point of their need, as you always are. So we thank you for being loving. We thank you for being generous. We thank you because you loved us first and you sent your Son to be with us, to live among us, to minister to us. So, Father, in that same spirit of generosity, we ask you, please, to teach us once again how to be more like you, because we know that when we give, we are reflecting the very heart of who you are. Take this offering that we give and triple it and do the work that you would need done in this lost and hurting world. And we will be grateful and we will give you all the praise. And we say this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
So it has been amazing to be married to a physicist. One of the things that Catherine has said to me that I think is so striking is we now know, for example, that there are these cosmological constants, these ways that the universe is tuned. And it's these numbers that the physicists have to plug into their equations to get everything to work. For example, there's a constant relating to gravity. How strongly do things attract each other? And you set that just a little bit differently, and the universe never gets stars and then never gets planets, because stars form, obviously, by gravity. And the universe just quickly collapses in on itself. Or if it's set the other way, if the dial is turned just too far the other way, it expands endlessly, and you never get the coalescing of matter that you get in the galaxies and in stars and then in planets and then eventually our planet. So the fact that these things are tuned, and there's at least a dozen of these constants that have to be, the dial has to be set exactly right, or you never get life of any kind on a planet like Earth. And scientists have realized we have no idea why they're set the way they're set. I think when you start discovering those just givens of the universe, like it just is this way, it didn't have to be this way, but it is this way, it leaves you much more open to the possibility that it is this way because someone chose it to be this way.
I have a couple of sons that are the loves of my life, and it's fascinating how peekaboo is fun to them from the very beginning. Seems there's something about being hidden and then something being revealed. I don't know if I can, you know, sum it up scientifically, but it is fascinating to me that in all of our hearts seems to be this desire to find out what's really going on.
I look at, you go to the zoo, what animals do people want to see? They want to see the bears and the lions and the tigers. You know, in my country, sharks are a big deal, sharks and whales. People want to be in a place where they're reminded of the fact that they are not the greatest or most important thing in the world. I mean, why are people drawn to mountains or to ocean vistas or to raging rivers or canyons? There is a yearning within the human psyche to be freed from the folly of imagining that the human experience is the highest or the greatest experience that there can be. We can't bear the idea that we are it, that this is as good as it gets, that the human experience is the highest evolution possible. We have to believe that there's something greater, something beyond, something more important to us.
I've traveled around the world. I've been to about 24 different countries. I've spoken to people from every religious background. I've talked to people who grew up in 70 years of atheistic communism. And you know what is shocking is that even in that environment, the majority of people, when you get them alone and you ask them, they say, you know, deep down, I've always believed there must be a God or a higher power or someone up there who gave me life, who has purpose for my life. And you think about that, like, why is that so common to humanity? There's got to be some reason. And doesn't it make sense that's like this homing device in every human, pointing us back to the very source of life?
I think I have had some experiences in life that give me confidence to know there is a God. Some of it was the time I spent with my grandmother when I was very young. Sometimes I'd be in the house with her and just be the two of us. And she might sing a hymn from church, or she might pray. And as a little girl, I don't know how else to explain it except to say I could feel something when she would sing that way, that there was something very real and spiritual happening. You know, even though as a little girl, I sort of felt like I'm looking in on something happening between my grandmother and God, maybe. And as I got older, you know, sometimes I'd be in a church service and I might have that same feeling that I remember having sitting in my grandmother's house. But I think it's just been a lot of those experiences over time that sort of have lumped together to say to me, this is how I know that God is real.
If you actually think it through, the idea that, let's say, okay, there's no God. We just got here by accident. You know, we evolved out of the primordial soup over billions of years totally accidentally. God didn't guide that because he doesn't exist. So we're here. So you have, it logically follows that life has no meaning. Now, people go, okay, well, no. Life has no meaning. If you think about that, it is so bleak and horrifying that most people would know that can't be. The love that you feel for people in your life that you have felt, according to the idea, if there's no God, then that love means nothing. It's not even love. It's just a chemical reaction designed to perpetuate the species, totally by accident.
All of us, when we look at the world today, long for a better world. I mean, we look at the events that happen on the news, when we see bombs go off in the middle of crowds, when we see children being abducted and then put into the slave trade. All of us have something in us that we look at that, we know that's not right, and we yearn for a better world. There isn't something evolutionary about that. It doesn't necessarily help my survival to seek someone else's good. But it's there, it's implanted in all of us. And if we pay attention to that, I think we get a sense of the heartbeat of God.
I remember when my first son was born, and when I was growing up, I couldn't wait to be a father, and I couldn't wait to be a husband. So now I've got the wife, and we've married, you know, we were going on 7 years at the time, and then we find out she's pregnant, we got our son, he's coming into the world, and I remember when that little guy came out, and he looked like he was 85 years old, and look, he had crazy amounts of hair, even on his forehead, and he wasn't terribly cute, in all honesty, from the first time he came out. He has since grown into a beautiful young man. But when I saw him, I mean, explain it. Explain the connection, explain the love, explain the awe. For me, I go back to God is love. Not that he has love, but is love. And any friends of mine that have experienced love, they've experienced that presence, that joy, that hope. I think it's all just a little sign. It's telling us that there's something more here. There's something more.
I think I realize that if there is a God, then I can't prove him, nor can I disprove him with science. That if anything, God would have to prove himself to us. God would have to overcome this enormous ontological gap that exists between us and him and actually reveal himself to us in a way that makes sense.
A lot of it is just that experience, that sort of trying and seeing. And that when we want to know more about God, he wants us to know more about him too. And I think he meets us where we are in that way.
The Israelites are in trouble. This is not a random moment in history. There is a threat, and it is headed their way. And so we pick up the passage in verse 7. When the Philistines heard that the Israelites had assembled, well, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And so when the people of God, the Israelites, when they heard of this, they were afraid, obviously. So the people of God said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." They were outnumbered massively. The Philistines were known to have a reputation as brutal warriors, and the people of God did not at this time. So Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the people of God. The men of God rushed out, and they pursued the Philistines, and they won the war. Verse 12, here's the verse. Samuel took a stone, and this isn't like a pebble, it's not a rock, it's not like a... He took a giant, like, plinth, like a 12-foot, the biggest thing he could find. Like, you think of, like, the Stonehenge type. He found the biggest crater rock he could find. And he set it up, and he started carving on it and told the story. Samuel took a stone and set it up, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." The Hebrew name Ebenezer, it translates to a stone of help. And so, we welcome those of you now. Maybe this year has been tough. Maybe it is tough. In just a few minutes, we'll be sharing stories of celebration, but we didn't want to forget that for some of you, your delivery has not yet come. And so we wanted to give you space where if you felt so moved, raise your hand and we'll come to you with a microphone, and this is where you can feel comfortable to share with us your need, what trial, what obstacle, what mountain is in front of you, and you just need to say it so that we can bear that burden with you, so that we can be supportive of you, so that we can find you afterward to pray with you, to encourage you. Maybe your answer is here among us or from home. But if you are in a place now where you see that army coming at you and you have no idea how you're going to live through this, how you're going to make it through this, then raise your hand and cry out to God among us, and we'll listen with you. All you need to do is raise your hand, and one of our microphones will appear in front of you.
Church family, 2018, I lost my mom, and I miss her so much. And I know a lot of us have lost loved ones in their lives, and it may be a little hard to cope with that loss. So with that being said, I know that with God, all things are possible. That includes happiness, health, whatever your mental state is, don't give up. No matter what that loss is, just continue to move on, to push forward, read your Bible, and just know that some people are praying for you. But I miss my mom.
You or your family member have a health need. You have a financial crisis. You are in spiritual turmoil. You're in a relationship crisis. Something God is poking at you. You need help. For those of us who we can add the fear of speaking in public, this is a great time for those of you at home or for those of you who have a cell phone to use that connection card and to state your request, your need, your cry there. You can type it in there. We, the staff, and we have a weekly prayer team, will be praying for you. And if you put your contact information there, one of us will follow up with you, and we'll be happy to listen and to pray with you and to encourage you. Last call. You're in a place of need. You see this army, you see this mountain in front of you, you have a threat in your life, and you have no idea how you're going to get through it.
meditating on the meaning of Christmas, and one thing that really talked to me was that different from God, we human, we don't like to show weakness. We don't like to show that we need something. We don't like to show that we are human. Different from us, God made himself human to reach us and to give us what we need. Different from God, we want to look like God and perfect and not need of anything, but God made himself like us. He made himself like human. He took on the human form for us. So there's nothing wrong about being needy. We are needy, and it's only when we understand that we are able to receive God as he is. It's the humbleness of the simple thing of being human that we need to remember in order to receive the grace from God and to experience God. And I realized that this year was a hard year, that I need a lot of things, but one of the things that I realized the most is that I need God to help me to be more humble about that and showing my weakness. And showing that I need help when I need help. Telling people that I need help when I do. And it's okay to have my failures. I don't need to be perfect. And that's one thing that I wanted to share.
Hang on, Jessica, can you turn the mic on? Thanks.
Hello. The one thing that I asked for God to help me with is my school. Right now, battling 13 classes in high school can be really difficult while having a lot of responsibilities. And being a teenager and having to deal with people and just going into school is really difficult. So I'd ask God to give me the motivation and give me the peace of heart, knowing that if I continue, I can do it. I can put my mind to it. So if that's one thing I could ask, I definitely need God to help me.
If you'll join me in prayer. I remember complaining to my mother, God, that I don't remember what it was. Something had hurt me. And in her usual gentle, kind Chinese way, she said, doesn't owe you anything. Why are you so foolish as to think that it should all be perfect and good? I recognize maybe that wasn't the most motherly of things at the time. I didn't really appreciate it, but she spoke truth. And Father, we understand that this is a fallen world. We get it. We get that there is viruses in our present and in our future. We know that there is dissension in this world and in our families and around me and from me. We get that there is loss and grief. We get that these past 2 years of academic struggles and work struggles and family struggles have been unlike any ever before. And we know that you know. And we know that you're right there with us. But Father, sometimes the pain is too big, too great, too loud. I cannot see you. I cannot hear you. And so, Father, if there's someone in our midst, if in our families, at home, if there is someone who needs to hear, Father, would you break through? We ask that you would break through to just let them know that you have them, that you are with them, that your delivery is close at hand. I don't have magic answers. I don't have the magic solution. You didn't promise that. But you promised your presence. You promised your comfort. You promised the family of God would surround them. You promised that there is hope and joy on the other side. We cry out, God, on behalf of and with those in need this morning. And all the people of God said, amen. Let's look at that last verse again, that Ebenezer Stone verse. There's a great Christmas carol about it. We're not going to sing it, but that verse, I love this verse. In verse 12, Samuel, he took this stone. I want you to imagine this. It says Samuel took this stone, but he must have called like a platoon, a giant, like everybody, go hunt for the biggest boulder we can find and roll it, haul it, create an engineering system, get this thing into place. Where are my master carvers? Where are those who are literate with word and with skill? And let us carve our story in this story of deliverance. Samuel took that stone and he set it up and he named it Ebenezer. And I imagine he turned to the people and said, this is our story. And forevermore, everyone who walks by this stone for as long as it stands, for as long as it is here, they will know the story that our God is and that he delivers. And so in our age of technology, I wish I had enough money to like have this giant like real stone here, but in our age of technology, we're going to use video recording. We're going to use the means that we have to set up our own Ebenezer stone. We have our website. We have everything that we have. We're going to collect over the years so many stories. I envision a thing on our webpage. It'll just be like a little button on our webpage, but it'll be like our stories, and it'll be our Ebenezer stone, and story after story after story. For those of people who are searching for God, who need encouragement for God, they'll click and they will hear your two-minute story. There is no judgment in this room or at home. There is no measuring or comparing. Your story is your story. You carry the imago Dei of God in you, and that is all the permission you need to share your story of God's deliverance, of God's rescue. Many of our stories might be medically or health-based, and that's wonderful. That's a great and easy first way to start to see God's deliverance and presence in your life. But we challenge you, if not today, then through this year, and I'll give you quarterly prompts throughout this 2022 year, ways in which you can see God present in your life. There's just too many coincidences that lined up together. It just so happened that A, well, and then it just so happened that B, and then C just happened, and then D came by, and then I have no other choice but to conclude that God is. And that God is in my life. So we ask you today to be thankful. We ask you to be grateful. We ask you to give proper credit to where it is due. And by doing so, we are properly humble before God, saying, we are your people, God. You are our God. You are the God. And we give you praise this morning. Just like this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sandra Dorsonville, and we've been asked by Pastor Jonathan to talk about God's goodness. For me, when I take a moment to stand and look around, whether it be noticing the sunrises or sunsets, that I really fondly call God's creation for us to notice, to take in, to be bathed in. I'm at awe. I'm at awe at this beautiful painting that we can depend on and that is here for us to pause with and to reflect and ponder and to be welcomed every morning and every evening. And whether we look up or we look down, we notice, what do we notice? Looking up, we might be looking up through leaves of trees at the sky and looking down, especially for me when I walk along the beach, noticing the different seashells that are around. Again, another testament to God's goodness and God's provision, really. And it's been true since I've come to sit at Pathways and be blessed by Sunday worships and noticing the beauty of God's image with all the hues that are represented. And also, I would be remiss if I did not mention the gift of time and learning and teaching and fellowship that we have with our adult Bible studies. A big shout out for John Stewart. So for me, these are some examples of God's goodness seen through the eyes of Pathways.
Am I on the right button? Here. Let us start with that. Let us start with giving thanks. Calling out in a simple sentence or two what we are thankful for, what we are grateful for. Just raise your hand and a microphone will magically appear in front of you.
So 2021 has been eventful for our family with illness and death of siblings. Now this is an experience that's not unique to me. I know there's a lot, many of you have had the same experience, and if you haven't yet, you will eventually. So I have three children. Their ages 37 to 41, been married to my wife for 43 years. I accepted Christ when I was 18 years of age, 50 years ago. And I'm going to give you a moment to do the math. But for the most part, our family has always been healthy, with the exception of a few broken bones that can be easily healed. It happens. But this last April, I received a call from my son. He said, "Dad, I've got blood in my stool. What is it?" I was thinking, well, let me get my crystal ball out and tell you what it is. I said, no, it could be a number of things, but you need to get it checked out. You need to go get a colonoscopy. It's probably hemorrhoids, but it could be something else. So, and I said, don't wait. The amazing thing is he didn't wait. When does he ever listen to me? And so he didn't wait. So a couple weeks later, he called after he got his colonoscopy and he said, "Dad, is Mom there? And are you sitting down?" These are not good things to ask if there's something coming. He said, I've got colon cancer, my 36-year-old son. So we prayed. The church prayed, my Sunday school class prayed, of which Sandra is part of that class. We all prayed. The Wednesday prayer group prayed for my son, Philip. And as he's headed off to surgery to remove the cancerous part of his colon, we prayed that the cancer would be confined inside the colon. We prayed specifically. We prayed that the margins remaining of the remaining colon would be clear of cancer, and that none of the lymph nodes that would be removed would be involved with cancer. We prayed that the tumor would be a low-grade cancer. All those things we prayed. And all those prayers were answered. The cancer did not extend beyond the membrane, the outer membrane of the colon. The margins of the remaining colon were clear of cancer. None of the 27 lymph nodes that were removed during surgery were involved with cancer. And the tumor was a lower grade tumor. All those. So as far as we know now, this episode kind of ended in November of this last year. I mean, he's actually still recovering. But statistics say that he's probably has a high probability of being free of cancer, as far as we know at this point in time. He wrote a note to my, he gave a Christmas gift to my wife. He gave me a gift too. I just want you to know I was not excluded. But it turned out there's a song that was very meaningful to my wife and myself. It was called Even If by Mercy Me. And the situation of that song had to do with a serious illness in the lead singer's son that was going to involve some serious surgeries. And so, but it was like, I know God, you can heal, but even if you don't, my hope is in you. My hope is in you. Even if you don't, my hope is in you. So my wife sent this song to my son, and in the Christmas card, he said, I was looking at my most played song of 2021 on Spotify, and the most played song for me was Even If by Mercy Me. I had never heard that song before you sent it to me. That song got through some rough days, got me through some rough days. There are days when I was in the hospital or at home recovering when I would turn that song on and sing along, hearing and singing the part, give me strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. It brought peace and comfort. So,
last words, Mike?
How's that?
Almost there.
Yeah. Sorry about the two-minute rule. I didn't know that. Okay, we're done.
We give praise. Thanks, Mike. Yeah. Mike has a lot more to tell you, and if you give me that, I'll put it up on our website. Let's continue by giving thanks. Where do you want to call out God's presence? Where do you want to say that you're thankful, that you're grateful?
Sometime earlier this year, excuse me, in the island nation of Haiti, which is close to my home country, Jamaica, 17 missionaries were kidnapped by a ruthless gang in Haiti. They were demanding $1 million for each head, otherwise they would murder all 17. Somehow, five were released. We don't know if any money was paid for them, but 12 remained behind, and somehow miraculously, about 2 weeks ago or less, they just walked out of the camp, passing by several armed guards. And it reminded me of the situation with Paul and Silas in prison, when they sang and cried out to the Lord, and the gates were miraculously opened. I just want to thank God for reuniting these 17 brothers and sisters with their families for Christmas. To God be the glory.
I'm going to make a movie out of that.
Good morning, Pathways. My name is Amos. In January of this year, I was infected with COVID. At the time, people were dying, But I had a hope that only God can save us. I continued to pray. But then again, my wife was also infected. We did not give up. As we watched TV, people dying in hundreds. But we had a hope that God is there. And even those that are sick, God is going to heal them. As we're suffering from the COVID, we're still praying for others. And as God could have it, we were freed from COVID. And we're praying for those also infected at work, everywhere. So we are thankful to God that He is powerful. He is our God. He solves all problems. Amen.
So I would just like to share a short story of encouragement to everyone here. And it has to do with the fact of how we reach our unchurched family. I imagine I'm not the only one feeling a burden for that right now. So in November, I had a chance to visit my mom's side of the family in the state of Washington, and I just have an aunt, and then her kids, who are my cousins, who I grew up with, and obviously with COVID, I hadn't been able to visit family in a long time, and probably a couple months before my visit, God had really been putting upon my heart, you know, to have some deeper conversations about Him and about life, and it was pretty clear. And you know, they're very familiar with the, you know, that I do through our church and the service and the work with the youth and mission trips, and so there's no secret about all that. But you know, there's a difference between, you know, how God works through you, and then how God can ultimately work through them. And so anyways, I just also tell you that the adage, be careful what you pray for, is extremely true, because you can expect the unexpected more than I think we know. So I was able to spend a little extended time this time, and usually the family, all my cousins would get together and we would have a gathering, but this time I got to spend actually time at their individual houses. And first stop was with my cousin Claudia, and we're the same age. We grew up, we were sewn from the same cloth. We were rebellious teenagers and we were partiers. And you know, we had that connection from an early age. And anyway, she ended up marrying a Christian Scientist, and a wonderful guy, very gregarious, outspoken in his beliefs. And so I don't even remember how the conversation started, but one afternoon we sat down, and Randy, her husband, and I, we just started talking about God and the Bible and Jesus, and ended up having an afternoon-long conversation about my beliefs and my Christianity versus his Christian Science upbringing. And Claudia, the whole time, we were all sitting there, and Claudia never uttered a word. She just listened to us for several hours and just taking it all in and trying to, I guess, you know, hear our different viewpoints and beliefs, and just soaking it all in. And the way God worked through it was so amazing, because through the conversation that Randy and I were having, it was just natural. I ended up sharing my testimony and I ended up sharing the gospel. And again, she's just sitting there silent, not saying a word. And then we got to the part about well, what happens after you die? And she suddenly spoke up and she looked at me and she said, well, what do you think happens after you die? And that just really, I was like, wow. I mean, she actually was, the thought was there. Now, when she said that, what do you think happens after you die? You can take that two ways. Was she asking what happens after I die as a Christian? Or was she asking what happens to you as in everybody in general? So she has some processing to do. But she mentioned to me afterwards that after this conversation that, you know, you should have a conversation with my brother Brian about this. And then the next morning, as I was leaving, Randy pulled me aside because we had some pushback on some of the things that we believed, and there were times when I had to bring scriptural points and some theology to him that he had to step back and think about it for a minute and say, hmm. And the next morning, as I was leaving, he pulled me aside and he said, thank you. He said, thank you for that conversation we had yesterday, and I want to continue to have more next time you're here. So be careful what you pray for.
The preface of that story is John leads one of our student ministry small groups, and he shared his hopes for what that vacation might mean. He shared it with the small group with the students, and so if God didn't show up, John was going to have to tell the story after he got back that, well, nothing really happened. But he told that story beforehand. God showed up. And then he told the story afterward. And so our students got to hear firsthand a really cool story of God showing up. What else? God showing up in your life, you're grateful for, you're thankful for. You just want to say thanks to God. It's not a huge story behind it. You just want a simple sentence of, I'm really grateful to God for this. And it's just a simple sentence or two.
Good morning, church. I just want to say that I am a living example that God truly and really exists. I am a living example of God's testimony. Like from 2018 till this very minute, is it talking about the deadly car accident I had? To from one ordeal to the other, and here I am, safe, alive with my family. I am just really a true example that, yes, God indeed really exists. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you, God, for carrying me throughout the year. Throughout this COVID, sometimes I don't have hope, and just waking up in the morning give me that hope to just see another day. So I just want to give God thanks and to say, continue having hope each day.
Our last call in this segment is to think about your family, your neighbors, your friends, your job, your primary relationships, if you're married or single, your health, what you see in the news, if we were to do this, if we were to be here for a whole night and I said, no one's leaving, we could easily fill that time. When we attune our eyes to see the movement of his hand in our lives, when people know us well enough to be able to point out to us, Jonathan, that wasn't a coincidence. Jonathan, did you know that this happened or that happened? When we tell our stories often enough to those who know us, to those whom we trust, they'll help us see God's presence in our lives. As the worship team makes their way back up on stage, I have a couple more stories to show you.
Christmas Village has been Eddie and Callie's project for many years. I really enjoyed looking at the community that they... Our Christmas Village has been Eddie and Callie's project for many years. I really enjoyed looking at the community that they carefully create. Community has been particularly important to me this past year. The day before Thanksgiving 2020, I woke up blind in my left eye. The retina had fully detached overnight while I was sleeping. This began a difficult medical journey. 3 surgeries and many emergency visits for which Eddie or Callie dropped everything to drive me to get the care I needed. Many at church have prayed for me, and my Sunday school class prayed with me. Our community gives me great hope. Not for circumstances to change necessarily, though I really do want to have the best possible outcome. Our community is founded on Jesus, and it is in Him that we have our best hope. Hope that helps us to press on and rise above what life throws at us. I want all of you to have a wonderful Christmas season. And when you enjoy all of the festivities, lights, families and friends and foods, bask in the hope that is Jesus Himself, and be a joyful community for one another.
Bob and I met when we were 10 and 12. Our life together has been blessed with 51 years of marriage, 3 children, and 8 beautiful grandchildren. But he didn't know what he was signing up for when he married me. Life was going along pretty well until 7 years ago when I heard the dreaded C word. I was diagnosed with early stage breast cancer, grateful to have found it early. I felt God with me through the surgery, the chemo, and the radiation. 2 years later, I woke up one morning feeling awful, so badly that Bob felt he should stay home from work, which was very unusual. Later that morning, when I became unresponsive, he called 911 and I was taken by ambulance to the hospital, where I was diagnosed with bacterial meningitis. The doctor told Bob if he had gone to work that day, he would have come home to a dead wife. God was definitely with us. After 10 days in ICU and 4 weeks of intensive rehab, learning to walk again, I felt God's presence through the prayers of many people. Larry and Becky White came to visit me in rehab. I was walking a little with a walker, but not even close to being discharged. I told them I would wish to be home for go to church on Easter Sunday. Larry prayed for me, asking the Lord to make me strong enough to be in church for Easter. I was discharged the following Saturday and was in church the next day with my walker, which was Easter Sunday. God had answered Larry's prayers and mine. Then came emergency surgery for a ruptured colon, requiring a colostomy. It was very difficult to get used to dealing with that, and I needed much help. But I knew God was with me as I adjusted to my new lifestyle. In October 2018, I began having seizures and had to have a craniotomy to remove a meningioma in my brain. Surgery went well, but 3 hours afterwards, I hemorrhaged in my brain and the right side of my body became paralyzed for 4 weeks. I felt God's presence through the prayers of people all over the country as I recovered in rehab and once again had to learn to walk. I was at peace in February of 2020 when I had surgery to remove a cancerous tumor from my kidney. This year, in 2021, I've only had two elective surgeries, both knees replaced, and thankfully successful abdominal surgery to reverse my colostomy. Both have increased my quality of life, and for that I thank God. When I was discouraged, asking what good does prayer do, and questioning why God was letting me go through all these trials, Bob was there. He has taken care of me, encouraged me, pushed when needed, and helped me keep my heart, mind, and faith in check. The Bible tells us that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Well, he must have a lot of confidence in me.
I love Judy's testimony. Are you okay? Got me here? There we go. Love Judy's testimony. And if you follow Judy on Facebook, you know she went parasailing this past summer after all that story of all she'd been through. And it just reminds me, it's a great lead into the song we're going to sing, Graves into Gardens. God takes what looks like such a difficult thing, such a hard thing, and he brings blessings. So let's stand together and sing about God's provision and turning our lives around. Give him thanks, give him praise as we worship. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that paid are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Lift up your Ebenezer. You take shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You take shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn grains into garments. Turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways.
There are more stories among us. I was getting a couple texts even as I said that. There are more stories among us. And if you are connected on the YouVersion app in that live event, there's a link there with some of the video stories we couldn't include today. You can submit yours by video or you can write them down. We'll include them and we'll send that link out through the weekly newsletter email. This is our Ebenezer Sunday. This is where we plant our flag and say that God is present among us. This is where God is present in my life, and to him we give thanks. But you remember that when Samuel put that stone there, the people of God had moved on. That stone was for everyone else to read, to see. Today, we are God's Ebenezer stone. These stories cannot stay within these four walls. It cannot stay just in this recording. These stories must be lived out there among your workplace, in your school, among your neighbors, among your friends, among your extended family. We are God's Ebenezer stone, and his story is written on us and is on us to tell our story so that your friend's story, your family member's story, maybe their story has a chance to interact with God's story through your story. Go in peace today, and we worship the God Almighty. Amen.
The office is obviously closed most of the week for Christmas to New Year's, but if you need us, call here. We'll check the messages. We'll try to get back to you. We are open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the morning. Let us know if we can be of service to you. Have a blessed week. We'll see you in the new year.